This evening's reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 7 and finishing at verse 12. If anybody has a Bible, it's on page 971. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets."
Good evening. I remember back in September preaching at this service as we started this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and saying then how this was perhaps the greatest body of teaching that we have from Jesus. And now here we are, nearly at the end, just one more week to go. And tonight we have what are arguably some of the most well-known verses from this sermon. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened." When I'm preparing these talks, what I tend to do is shortly after delivering one sermon, I'll look up the verses for the next one, and I'll just have them at the back of my mind, just mulling them over, as it were, for a week or so before I start to plan. And so it was that I read these verses through, and they felt warm, familiar, and comfortable. But I remember getting to the last verse and being surprised by it. So what I'd like to do tonight is start at the end and work back, as it were. And that last verse goes like this: "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." And I hadn't remembered that this passage ended with these words, and I wondered how they related to what came before. And it brought to mind my Scottish grandmother, who had her own version. She used to say to us as kids, "Do as you would be done by." Is that familiar? And as any commentary will tell you, these words are known as the Golden Rule. And some claim that showing consideration to others like this is not unique to Christianity, that you'll find similar ideas expressed in other world religions, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, in the Baha'i faith. They all have a version of these words. So you might think this idea is nothing new, but you'd be wrong, because there are two things that set Christianity apart here. And the first way is that all the other religions express this idea negatively. So they say, "Do not do to others what you don't want them to do to you, and don't hurt others." They rely on passivity, while Jesus states it positively and proactively: "Do unto others." And this is one way in which Christianity is unique. And it's also unique in terms of the relationship that underpins this, a relationship of love between us and God. It's only when the love of God penetrates us that we can love others in this way. But why is this verse here, and how does it relate to the passage about prayer? Well, there's a very important word in this verse that is the key to understanding that, and it's the first word, so, sometimes translated in the Bible as therefore. Whenever you're reading the Bible and you see the words so or therefore, take note. I once heard someone say, if you see the word therefore, you need to work out what it's there for. And in this case, verse 12 is presented of a summary of everything else that Jesus has been teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about how we should behave in the world and how we should relate to other people. This verse sums up the law, which Jesus said in chapter 5 that he came not to abolish, but to fulfill. And as Tom Wright comments, he's teaching Israel who God really is and what copying him, trusting him, loving him and obeying him really looks like. It looks like only doing to others what you would have them do to you. Think about it for a minute. Try and hear it with fresh ears. Hear it not as an ideal, but as a standard against which we will be judged. Do you like it when your work is appreciated? Then appreciate the work of others. Do you like it when your sins are graciously handled? Then do that for others. Do you like it when people listen to you instead of talking over you? Then do that for others. Do you like it when someone genuinely cares for you and takes an interest in your life? Then do that. Do you like it when someone comes over and volunteers to watch the kids so you can have a night out? Then do that for others. Do you like it when people empathize with you and legitimize your suffering? Then do that for others. I could go on, but I'm sure you get the picture by now. This command is open-ended and all-encompassing. And the reality is that none of us can live like that. This is a standard which for us is utterly unattainable. On our own, that is. We can't live like this relying on our own strength, but we don't have to. We can ask, seek, and knock. That's why this passage ends with the golden rule, because this passage is primarily about coming to God in prayer. And the purpose of prayer is to enrich our relationship with God and allow him to change us into the people he would have us be, people who are a little bit more like this. So let's go back to the start now and these words. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I'm sure I'm not the only one here tonight who, at times in the past, has had difficulty with these verses. There have been many times in my life when the prayers I've prayed haven't been answered, when I've asked for people to be healed and they weren't, when I've prayed that people would live and they died, when I've prayed that people might come to faith and seen very little response to encourage me. And as I read about and thought about this passage, I think it has some valuable lessons for us in terms of how we can come to God, who is our good, good Father. Taken superficially, these words then might seem to be a wonderful promise. All you have to do is ask in faith and you'll receive. You want promotion at work? Just ask. You've been admiring that car in your neighbour's drive? Just ask. You'd like all the conflict in your relationships to disappear? Just ask. No, that is not what Jesus is saying here. This is not an unconditional promise that reduces God to some sort of cosmic vending machine. You put your coin at the top, press the button, and he'll give you what you want in the drawer underneath. And when it doesn't come out, when the bottle of Coke doesn't come to the drawer at the end, what do? We press the button furiously, we shake the machine, we get angry. No, that's not what it's about. And neither is God being portrayed as a Santa Claus figure to whom we can just give our wish list. This is not a validation of name it and claim it theology. Prayer is about our relationship with God, not about getting what we want. James tells us in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, you desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Sometimes we don't get what we want because, and our prayers aren't answered because we ask for the wrong things or we ask with the wrong motives. And sometimes we just fail to ask. So what is the scope of this promise and who is it for? It's important to remember all through this who Jesus is speaking to, not to the crowd, but to his disciples. This is a promise for those who are already believers, already followers of Christ. And with that in mind, what else has he taught us about how we should pray? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, we're told that we should pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we pray, we must pray in submission to the will of God, praying for what he wants, not for what we want. And this is echoed in John 14, verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. But what we ask for must be in his name. That's in keeping with his character and will. And we must be obedient. It follows that if we are obedient, we'll only ask for the things that are in line with his will. 1 John 3, verse 22 says, we receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. So having established some principles for prayer then, I'd like to focus for the remainder of our time on how we should pray and approach God. And the first thing to say is that when it says ask, seek and knock, it's the present imperative form of the verb that's being used. And that would better be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that's how you'll see it in the Amplified version of the Bible. There's something here about persistence in prayer. And these verses are also seen in Luke 11. And they're preceded by teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And then this story in which Jesus underlines the importance of persistence in prayer. So in Luke 11, a man opens his door late at night to an unexpected visitor, but he has no food to offer him. And in a culture where hospitality was central, that was not okay. So he goes and knocks up his neighbour, who's already gone to bed and locked the door, and he calls out, don't bother me. I can't get up now. My children and I are all in bed. I can't give you anything. Then Jesus gives the punchline. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. The lesson on persistence in prayer is clear. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. To quote Philip Yancey, if a cranky neighbour who has turned in for the night, who wishes more than anything that you just go away, who does his best to ignore you, if such a neighbour eventually rouses to give you what you want, how much more will God respond to your bold persistence in prayer? After all, what earthly father would sneak a snake under his son's pillow when he asks for a fish, or drop a scorpion on his daughter's breakfast plate instead of an egg. When we pray, we are to pray with persistence. And there is, I believe, an increasing intensity in the command to ask, seek, and knock. Asking is just about coming to our Father and verbalizing our request, just asking a question. Seeking adds an element of responsibility on our behalf. We're not just passively asking for what we want, but doing what we can to bring about what we're praying for. And how often have you found that we are the answer to our own prayers? And knocking is even more intense. Think about how you'd knock on someone's door. It's never just a single knock. Who would answer that? You'd just think, a book's fallen off a shelf somewhere. You'd ignore it. When I visit my patients around their houses, a lot of them are very frail and slow to get to the door, and some of them are very deaf. So it's never, it's at least. And sometimes if I'm waiting there a long time, it's just to make sure they've heard me. We can come to God in prayer like that because we are his much-loved children, approaching a trusted and good Father. When I think about my own prayers, I can't always say that they reflect this model. How many of us approach God in prayer with a sense of awe and reverence, whispering our prayers politely and using a language that we wouldn't ordinarily use at home? I'm not saying that's wrong. It's not the model we're given here. What we're told here is that we can beat God's door down. We can bother him with our requests. We can approach him with shameless audacity, because that's what a child does with a parent. A child has a unique relationship with their parent. A child has access to their parent. Think about your own interactions with children. When my children were small and they wanted something, they'd do anything to get my attention. They'd jump on me, they'd sit on me, they'd hang from my arms, they'd ask me repeatedly and noisily and often without a please. Can I have? I want one. So-and-so's got one. I'm the only one that hasn't got it, etc., etc. And if there was a please, it was more of a please that sort of went on forever. But that's how a child asks a parent. A child beats our doors down. Children bother us with their requests. Children don't approach us with awe and reverence, but with shameless audacity, because they have a relationship with us, because they have access, and because they know they are loved. And I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. Prayer is simple as a child making its wants known to its parent. That's how we can approach God, because we are much loved sons and daughters. We have free access to the Father. That is a privilege. Not everyone has this access, only those who have put their faith in him. When I go to work, I have a lanyard around my neck, and my pass card has got some sort of chip in it. And when I present that to a little thing on the wall, it allows me through the doorways. And I get access to parts of the building that the general public wouldn't be allowed in. It's the same with God here. We have free access. Through his Holy Spirit, we have a way in. And when my children asked for things, if it was a passing whim, they'd soon forget what it was they'd asked for and they'd move on to the next fad. But if they really wanted it, they'd keep on asking. They'd keep on knocking that door. I remember one Christmas, I think Katie must have been about 6 or 7. And from September through to Christmas Eve, all we heard was about this robot dog on an almost daily basis. pictures of it. I was told what Argos number it was, etc., etc. You know, it's all she wanted constantly, and it worked. She got her robot dog. It worked for her, and it can work for us. If something is important to us, we can go to God humbly and aggressively, like a child, and ask. And of course, there were times when I didn't give them what they wanted, because I judged it wouldn't be good for them, either because it might have harmed them in some way, like, can I go and see an 18 film when you're only 14? Or because as much as they wanted something, they didn't need it. The most expensive designer trainers, for instance. And God can do the same for us. If what we want isn't in line with his will for us, if we ask for the wrong things or for the wrong reasons, he doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need instead. He ignores our requests, but responds to our needs. And that's how it works in the kingdom. Take a look at Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Turn to God first for help. Fill your thoughts with his desires. Take his character as your pattern. Serve and obey him in everything. Do this and ask for what you need. Approach him knowing you are a much loved son or daughter. Matthew 7:11 tells us that our Father in heaven longs to give good gifts to those who ask him. And look how that verse is written in Luke. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The most important gift we can ever be given. His presence living inside of us. Ask, seek, and knock. For he is a good, good Father. And receive the kingdom of heaven. Receive the Holy Spirit. Enough to spill over and give to others. For he always gives more than we can ask for or imagine. As I heard someone say once, we're pipes, not pots. It's not meant to stay inside of us, but flow through us to others. He always gives us more than we need. Enough to empower us to follow that golden rule and show his love to others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that we can run into your arms as much loved sons and daughters, knowing that you delight in spending time with us and longing to give good gifts to us when we ask in faith. Lord, I need you. I cannot live life as I should. I can't go through on my own. Forgive me. I know that you care for me at all times and that I am always in your hands. But still, I need to pause, to ask and go on asking, to seek and go on seeking, to knock and go on knocking. And let my heart and my spirit be loved by you again, that I may show that same love to others. Amen.